Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, you're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
Welcome to you. It's good to have you here today. The nice part about having a holiday on a Monday is the whole week goes by fast, and we are already to the middle of our week. Welcome to Wednesday. It'll be a What If Wednesday. Before it's all said and done, we're going to have conversations with Spencer Hall about the ever-changing landscape of college sports. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, our friend Sean Salisbury will be joining us to probably talk a little bit about that. He is a USC Trojan, after all, played a little in the NFL as well, and that is pretty much where we're starting today, Ray, because we got a piece of breaking news which will affect the San Francisco 49ers. The breaking news broke earlier this morning. Baker Mayfield is a Carolina Panther, which in a game of quarterbacking musical chairs now, Ray, leaves the 49ers with even now one fewer opportunity to find a landing spot for Jimmy Garoppolo should he be put in another uniform via trade. So who would have ever thought? And hello, Raymond. It is lovely to see you. Who would have ever thought? Well, yeah, I mean, see you over a Zoom meeting. Thank God it doesn't have to happen in person, you know. But to who would have ever thought that Jimmy Garoppolo's future probably hinges on Deshaun Watson's massage suspension more than it does his own talent? That's where we are.
Well, it's the kind of chaos that, you know, I appreciate most of all.
I know.
And the other thing is, while the suspension weighs on some of his landing spots, the bigger issue is the fact that, you know, nobody has seen him throw a ball in anger yet. And based on the fact that this is now closing in on the middle of July, we're going to have to wait for somebody to get hurt in training camp, which is what we sort of already thought, that, you know, the injury that we don't know about yet will create a phone call to the 49ers and to Jimmy Garoppolo's agent saying, would you like to wear our brightly colored helmet rather than theirs? So that's sort of, you know... Yeah, the Mayfield thing does sort of change the landscape a bit, but mostly it's, you know, Garoppolo's health and the lack of health of somebody else.
So this trade is now dependent on the cosmic tumbler? That's what we're looking at here?
It always has been, though. I mean, because once he got the surgery, you know, he became sort of a, you know, let's not touch him till we have to sort of situation, because you don't know ever how a guy comes out of surgery, whether, you know, his arm is better, whether it's the same, or whether it's incrementally worse. And given the fact that, you know, it's not a great arm, and given the fact that he commands a fair amount of money, I think there's nobody's going to commit buyer's remorse until they absolutely have to.
Well, and I just think that we saw today a trade go down, which will dictate the terms of the trade that Garoppolo finds himself involved in, if he does find himself involved in a trade. Baker Mayfield got traded to the Panthers for a bag of peanuts. I mean, we're talking about a 2024 conditional fifth-round pick with Cleveland paying two-thirds of his salary along the way. I mean, that is... there is a huge blinking neon sign now over any parameter of any Garoppolo trade that screams, you're getting nothing for him. The 49ers will be receiving no value of any, I mean, you can't even interpret value in what little they will receive for Jimmy Garoppolo. If the former number one overall pick in the draft, who is younger and healthier and is only being replaced, not because he's necessarily bad, but because they found what they think is a better option. If he is only worth a conditional fifth round pick, Jimmy Garoppolo isn't worth a jugs machine on any sort of a trade market in terms of what the 49ers can really expect back from him now. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, John Lynch got caught watching the clock. No, he didn't. He got caught with a player who needed a surgery that has prevented anything from happening. And now, after I've been saying, there's just no way he's going to be back with the 49ers, there may be more value, even though that quarterbacking room is by definition awkward as hell, there may be more value in having him on the roster than flipping him for the comfort of Trey Lance and the return of absolutely nothing.
Well, desperation creates the market as much as anything else. And if a team loses its quarterback and is desperate enough, they might pay more than what Mayfield got. Because Mayfield, say whatever else you want, you know, about his youth and his arm strength, he was a monumental failure in a place where they couldn't give him the job fast enough or supported him enough. But when they turned on him, and he turned back on the Browns, he sort of damaged his market, too, to the point where, you know, the Panthers are looking at him really sort of a, well, maybe he'll work out, and if not, he'll go to Canada. I mean, his marketability plummeted as well for a different reason. And whatever else can be said about Jimmy Garoppolo, he got to a Super Bowl, and he got to a conference final in the last 3 years, with an arm that everybody disparaged, you know, on an almost daily basis. So there clearly are things about him that might be more appealing than a Baker Mayfield who's healthy but sort of otherwise damaged in the eyes of other teams.
We got a good show today. We got a full show today. It's brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. The Giants booked yet another visit to the loss column last night in Arizona. 6-2 was the final, and even that was a little bit of a lie. The Giants were given a run on a review that probably should not have even gone their way. That should have been a 6-1 loss to Arizona, not even 6-2. But I guess it's kind of disturbing looking at where the Giants are right now. They have already lost as many games to Arizona this season as they did all of last year. They have lost 6 in a row now, and they are leading the National League in boring. So it's a situation, how they get out of it, could they get out of it, should they get out of it? I mean, Farhan's going to need to get, you know, GM of the year considerations, or Scott Harris, whoever actually wants to say, I make the decision. Well, we all know who that is, but GM is Scott Harris's title. Well, Farhan has gone up the ladder. But look, this is the worst run, having lost 12 of 15 now of the entire Farhan era. And we're a little too deep into the era for that to be happening. It's year 4 for Farhan, and as rosy as everything looked last year, this really is the other side of that coin. Because as you start looking around the Giants, who they are, who they could be, what assets they truly have right now, it is not the romantic conversation that we were having just a year ago. And they really don't have the assets to plunk down to save themselves. And should they be able to, you know, just out of thin air, produce a player
that would really help this season. I don't know if any one player or move is going to come and help what we have seen from a team that is just as middling a baseball team as you're going to find. I mean, I was reading a Tim Kawakami piece earlier today that just said that, you know, the Giants are painfully average in every conceivable way possible to below average in every conceivable way possible. And he's right about that. You don't even need to read that column. All you got to do is watch like three innings of Giants baseball, and you have to walk away going, ugh.
Well, I mean, this is a team that 2 years ago in the strike season was 29 and 31. So, and we all said, and when I say we all, I mean everybody in baseball, said 107 wins is not representative of their talent level, that they profoundly overachieved with superb pitching and a fabulous defense and more homers than they've ever hit before. So they were going to regress to the mean. We just, you know, a lot of people didn't think that the mean was going to be what they did in 2020, which was basically split a season. That's what they look like now. They look like a profoundly ordinary team that they were probably meant to be a year ago. You know, I mean, it's, you know, their bullpen's not as good. Their starters, you know, thin. Their offense still generates homers, but it doesn't generate the same number of runs. And they kick the ball around as though they are a soccer team. So this is who, I think what we're saying here is this is who they actually are. And last year was who they are if they smoke the best weed they can buy.
We got a little bit of A's baseball to talk about on the field and off the field. We have a couple of other baseball stories that we need to get to before the day is over. We certainly have Kevin Durant, who continues to remain the most confused and the most confusing topic in all of sports. And we've got ourselves a really good show for you today. So we're happy that you're here. Thank you very much for rolling along with yours truly and Ray Ratto. We want to let you know that Spencer Hall, one of the most interesting guys to talk to about college anything, is going to be by a little bit later on this hour. The shakeup of the Pac-12 and an ACC alliance looks to be on the horizon. Could that be the best option for what feels like a conference that is totally out of options now that USC and UCLA have departed? We've got that coming up a little bit later on this hour. Sean Salisbury joins us a little bit later on to talk about football in all sorts of different ways, and it is good to have you here today. Kenny Main, not joining us, but he's part of the Odyssey family now. He's got a new podcast. It's called Hey Main. You can download it on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
The stream is out there. It is available to you. You can watch this.
Ew.
Yeah. Ugh. But you can if you want to. It's there for you. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame, youtube.com/957thegame. You can see what's going on live in the studio where Ray is sitting all by himself while I sit all by myself downstairs in my basement. Whole Bruce household still got the COVID. Here we are, but we sally forth. We continue. We play hurt over here, Ray.
Well, look at the bright side.
Exactly.
I'm doing fine. So
you're good. Yeah. Look, we have but one goal with every show. It's protect Ray Ratto at all costs. So
I don't think that's the goal. The goal is 554. I've tried to impress that upon you.
That's
554 is what we're aiming for.
That's your goal. My goal is to entertain the entire Bay Area and make sure Ray Ray is happy and comfortable and safe and protected. I'll hold you warm to my bosom, Ray.
Not without a gun.
We have an awful lot to get to today. Clearly, there's a lot going on. Have we got a final from over in Oakland? Did that game just go final? I believe it did. The Blue Jays have come back to beat the A's 2-1. The A's had actually taken two in a row off Toronto there. And, okay, there you go. That's all the A's baseball that you really, really need right now. Congratulations. They took two out of three against a pretty good Toronto. They're not here tomorrow, are they? Is it just a three-game series is all it was?
I believe so.
Four fans hurt by bullet fragments outside of the Coliseum after their 4th of July spectacular. So that's, you know, not good, but all things considered, it sure could have been a whole lot worse than that. So hopefully there isn't much of a story there to tell you about. The other bit of news that we got about the Oakland A's, I guess, can actually be interpreted as good news. If you want them to stay in Oakland, are we closer to that happening? The answer today is, I think so, I guess. They just got through a very important vote that said Howard Terminal could be used to build a new site for the A's. They needed to get that vote. They got that vote, and they got it in landslidey fashion. That's very good news. The other vote, which on the surface sounds negative, but is probably a positive for them, is that the public will not be asked on a November ballot whether or not the A's should stay in town and get a little public funding to go ahead and build this new stadium. I don't think that that would have passed. I don't think people would have voted for that. So this now means, like, if it's going to happen, get your money up, John Fisher. The biggest threat, I believe, that remains now is, will the city of Las Vegas go that financial mile that the city of Oakland will not? And if that happens, you're back to square one of worrying about the A's. But an actual good 24 hours for the Oakland A's, Ray, and they don't get a lot of those. So let's bask in it for a minute while we can, shall we?
Well, there was actually even better news. And that came from an interview with Rob Manfred last week, in which he said that baseball intends to expand to 32 teams in the not-too-distant future. And I think you can probably extrapolate from that that one of the two markets that they want to fill is Las Vegas. And if they're going to fill it with an expansion team, guess who can't go? Moreover, there's been rumblings from the State House in Nevada, in Carson City, that the state is not interested in any way in throwing any money to any baseball team, no matter where it comes from, in order to help build a stadium. And the city of Las Vegas doesn't have the kind of cash wherewithal to do that on their own. So whoever's going to build a ballpark there is going to have to do it with private money. And more to the point, Las Vegas is close to committing to a $5 billion expansion plan near the Strip, the centerpiece of which is going to be a $2 billion basketball arena. So I think it sounds like Vegas is far more interested in an NBA expansion team than an MLB one.
Well, as it should.
Well, yeah.
Las Vegas is a decidedly indoor town, and baseball is a decidedly outdoor sport.
Yeah, because the problem with building a stadium, a baseball stadium in Las Vegas, is it's two builds. You have to dome it. Otherwise, yeah, there's no point in doing it because no one will come out to be deep fried, you know, watching the A's play Pittsburgh on a Thursday afternoon. So I've always thought that Vegas was a long shot. It's now an even slightly longer long shot. And the procedural stuff that happened in Oakland, you know, still doesn't settle what is the main point of contention now, which is that the city is insisting on a 15% commitment to lower income or affordable housing on the near the Howard Terminal site that would be under the aegis of the bigger stadium project. The A's have insisted that they only want 5%, and I suspect that even they don't want that. So that's going to be the next thing they bicker about.
Oh, of course. If they build Abu Dhabi, they're not looking to give out Section 8 housing to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point is, you know, the A's know what the city ordinance says, and they're trying to get around it. And the city is not playing ball so far. So we're still at the early stages of the early stages.
Which is remarkable because it's been a 25-plus year conversation already. We have an awful lot coming up today. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. Here is one of the weirder texts I've ever seen on the Comcast Business text line, saying, "Damon, I dreamed that I was in Target cutting my own afro when kids began distracting me. You not only shooed them away, but you finished my haircut for me, too. Thanks an awful lot. You're the best." Happy to help. Happy to help. I hope when you dream of me, I'm like 50 pounds lighter than what I am, and that the haircut was fantastic. I'm glad that I could help. Ray, would you be comfortable if I cut your hair?
I wouldn't let you near me with scissors. I wouldn't let you near me with a toothpick.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think I'd do well with scissors.
What were you going to use? A machete?
No, I think I would need like a buzzer. That is where I would probably get the best. I think I would be better cutting an afro, or at least streamlining it, with the proper guard doing all the real work for me, than I would on, let's call it, Caucasian flowing hair with a pair of scissors. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Why don't you try with Jack? See how that goes.
Honey, where are you? What do you need a lawyer for? Come on, it's just a haircut. It'll grow back.
Come on. He only needs one ear, technically.
I am going to absolutely give him a mohawk when he turns around to me one day and says, "Daddy, can I have a mohawk?" The answer is going to be a definitive yes. Let's go to the bathroom and do that right now.
Man, you're not planning on staying married, are you?
No, you know, here's the thing. My wife rocked it harder enough in her early years where I think she'll allow one childhood mohawk without any real repercussions. At least that's what I'm hoping for. That's the deal I think I got. We'll find out together live in real time.
Yeah. You'll be working from home. Only it won't be in your room. It'll be in a bomb shelter.
It'd be doing this from in the corner of the backyard. Look, today, and you know something that happens on the station is interesting. When it gets cut into a video and pushed out on social media, and I got to give Steiny and Guru an awful lot of credit for doing something pretty interesting today. And I don't just want to talk about what they said. I wanted to play what they say before we get into it. And this is mostly Steiny kind of pontificating about how Joe Lacob has loyalties that are probably pointed to the next generation more than even are to his old guard. And this is going to come back to us talking about whether or not Joe Lacob believes whether or not Kevin Durant would be the right move for his empire. Here's what Steiny said earlier today on Steiny and Guru.
Joe Lacob takes over the team and Steph Curry's here. Okay? He's here already.
Gotcha.
Joe Lacob's got nothing to do with Steph.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson gets drafted, but who gets the credit for Klay Thompson? Jerry West gets the credit for Klay Thompson.
Okay.
In terms of the way people remember it. Okay, and then they got Draymond in the second round. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. So here's what I believe. I actually believe that Joe Lacob, in a way, has as much loyalty or more loyalty to the young players that he just drafted as opposed to the older guard who's been here for 12 years. I'm starting to think, I'm starting to get it. He's not trading Wiseman. He's not trading Kuminga. He's not trading Moody. He's probably not trading Poole either. You know why? Because they're his guys.
Pretty interesting. And I have thought about the Golden State Warriors, you know, and the game of three-dimensional chess that they are, as much as any topic that I've ever thought of in sports. And I hadn't quite thought of that. I think it's a very interesting point to make, and I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it feels like there could be quite a bit of truth attached to that, because Joe Lacob is a guy who I think has got he's a hands-on owner. He's not meddlesome. I think there's a big difference between meddlesome and hands-on. But I do believe that Joe fancies himself enough of a basketball guy to really want to see his basketball ideas come to their full fruition through the players that he drafted, as much as the players that he has retained and gotten as happy a locker room as any owner has ever had. I think there is an awful lot of truth to the logic that Steiny was putting out there.
I think he's probably on the right track, but for a different reason. And that is that when Stephen Curry retires and Klay Thompson retires and Draymond Green ages out or retires, Joe Lacob's going to still own this team. And if he decides the entire future ends in 3 years, we're going to do the Durant deal. We're going to give up all the young players we've got, and we're just going to go for it now because tomorrow doesn't matter. Well, the fact is, I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that when Stephen Curry retires, Steve Kerr's retiring too. And that when Stephen Curry retires, Bob Myers will either retire or go to another team to see if he can do this again. But Joe Lacob will still be here. And I think it's more a practical matter of, hey, I'm still going to be here after those guys are gone. And the whole idea behind drafting these guys was to bank on them when this generation of basketball players is done. So I think it's more practical than it is he's going to get credit for Kuminga or he's going to get credit for Moody or Poole, because he didn't draft them. Bob Myers did. And, you know, he hasn't helped develop them. Kerr has. So I think in terms of how much credit Joe Lacob gets is almost beside the point. I think what it is he's going to be here in 5 years when much of the current roster is not.
Do you think that Joe Lacob believes Kevin Durant is the right move to continue the empire when the sun sets on the Big Three's career?
Depends on what it costs. And if it costs Kuminga and Poole and maybe Moody or maybe Wiseman and a bunch of draft picks, I think he's going to have a problem with it. Now, Myers has been able to sell him on things before, but I don't know that Myers is that committed to this to the point where he would get into strident arguments with Lacob about it, because he's holding the biggest card of all, which is we could keep those guys and still be one of the best teams in basketball.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I think, and we've already, we're running this experiment in real time in two different directions. I think that when Curry leaves, for the time being anyways, the winning at basketball's highest level will be over. And that is going to be a truth that a lot of people are going to have to accept whether Kevin Durant is here or not. Kevin Durant can't even pretend that he's the right guy to lead the team into the void, you know, should he be asked to come back to the Golden State Warriors. Without Steph Curry, there's no championships with Kevin Durant just on his own. I don't believe that that's going to happen. I think that Draymond Green is more important to the Warriors' championship prospects continuing than Kevin Durant really is going to be, because he's just he gets it here. KD does not keep the faucet running without Steph Curry, but he's box office. He is box office, even though, you know, he is not the most likable character, and Golden State Warrior fans probably have more respect for Kevin Durant than any other fan base remaining out there. I don't know. I keep on thinking about how does Durant fit back in with the Warriors, and is it the right move? And as much as it feels like a right move for a lot of reasons, the headaches that come with it have me pivoting back to it can't happen. And oh, by the way, Shams yesterday on the Pat McAfee show basically said the Nets are operating like KD and Kyrie are both going to be back in the building next year, which is kind of what I was saying yesterday. If I were Joe Tsai, I would tell Kevin Durant to take his trade request and jam it as far up his own and his agent's rear end as humanly possible. Here is Shams just yesterday.
The Nets, you know, they pick up TJ Warren today. They're making moves and they're doing things this offseason with, in their mind, the preparation and operation as if they're bringing these two guys back next season and playing with these two guys.
So another story I think came out today that, you know, the Brooklyn Nets plan to begin the year with Kevin Durant. And you could say that that is just them trying to create even more leverage around a trade than they have at this particular time, or there's some truth to it. I think there might be some truth to that as well.
See, the problem I have with all those reports is that you have to determine who's talking to whom, because there are benefits to dropping a rumor that, you know, Joe Tsai is sick and tired of Durant. That could be dropped by Durant's people. And there's as much benefit that, you know, the Nets are going to keep Durant. And that could be, you know, Sean Marks dropping a dime on a reporter or two. It's hard to know if any of that stuff is the truth. I think if somebody came to Sean Marks and said, we'll give you the Gobert package, I think he would go to Tsai, and Tsai probably would say, well, then do it. But I think it depends on the haul. And the one thing that we don't know yet is how many teams can offer that much. Because Phoenix can't unless Ben Simmons is a part of the trade. Miami really can't unless Bam Adebayo, unless Ben Simmons is part of that trade because of Bam Adebayo. There really aren't that many teams that can make a relatively large offer without a lot of complications. And Toronto might be the best positioned one of all. But I don't know if Masai Ujiri wants to do that. I mean, and if you trade for Kevin Durant, It's not really a general manager's deal anyway. It's an owner's deal.
Right.
So, you know, how, where do the owners in Toronto and Miami and Phoenix sit on this? I mean, it's an incredibly complicated process that just might die because it's too complicated.
Well, I've got one option, and it's an option that was first presented yesterday by our guest Ethan Sherwood Strauss, and I went home and I sort of started looking at some salaries, numbers, draft capital, and options. If Kevin Durant is going to be on any team other than the Brooklyn Nets next year, Toronto is one of them, but I don't think that Toronto could even put together as good a package as New Orleans and then still satisfy Kevin Durant once he got to his new team. New Orleans has the player to include in the trade and an insane amount of picks required to get this deal done. Brandon Ingram is an all-star level talent who's only 24 years old. What do you think of Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, four first-rounders, maybe even five? Like, New Orleans has a ton of upcoming first-round picks thanks to deals that they've consummated already with the Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Nets could get an awful lot back, and then New Orleans would have Kevin Durant, Zion Williamson, and C.J. McCollum to build around. They also have Willie Green, who was a Kerr assistant when KD was with the Warriors, and Willie Green is now the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. I think it's a good deal. I think that there's legitimate compensation there that the Nets would have to consider. I don't know how much better of a deal that they could get from anyone not named the Golden State Warriors. The Nets get their young all-star that they were looking for and a huge pile of picks. And the Pelicans, they're not going to be a championship contender. They would be a playoff contender, though. Which is where you got to start if you're ever going to think about a championship. You at least got to be in the playoffs, and they're that.
Oh yeah, no! If they got Durant, they'd be their playoff team. I think that's probably pretty clear. The question that New Orleans probably would want to make happen is, if Durant comes, does that enhance Zion Williams' chances of staying too? Because right now, I don't think there are many people who believe that Zion Williamson is planning to stay in New Orleans a minute longer than he has to.
And, well, I mean, he just signed a big rookie extension that suggests he is planning on staying for, you know, at least the foreseeable future.
Doesn't mean that he can't.
We know in the NBA,
it doesn't mean that he can't hold
his
breath in a year and say, "Get me out of here anyway," though.
Of course. And I mean, look, that's the problem with Kevin Durant. What is to prevent Kevin Durant from just saying, "I want what's next, I want what's next, I want what's next," over and over and over? Because the man he's the most confused athlete in America. He's easily confused. He's easily swayed by social media. He does not have good representation. We'll get into how bad Rich Kleiman is at his job. And by the way, we did look this up. Rich Kleiman has just one client. That's it. There's no stable of stars that he is managing. He is an entire law firm of one. Kevin Durant is the only player that he represents. And he should be fired. Kevin Durant should fire him. Because you cannot make good decisions in your career when you're surrounded by either an army of bootlicks or just one. And Rich Kleiman just licks Kevin Durant's boots. Yes, Kevin. Yes, Kevin. Yes, Kevin. Rich Kleiman should have slapped Kevin Durant and said, "You're not going anywhere," the first time he was like, I want out of the Golden State Warriors. He should have said, "What are you, crazy? What are you, insane? You're in the best position you can be in. Because you just tore your Achilles, you're actually going to come back to a fan base that will give you the love that you're so desperately searching for. You're nuts. You're nuts to want to walk away from the best culture, the best system, the best teammates, the best coach, the best owner, the best arena, the best city. What are you, crazy?"
Except that and follow my logic here, because I'm not arguing with you, but Rich Kleiman has one client, as you said. So he's going to be inclined to let Kevin Durant tell him what Kevin Durant wants. I'm not blaming Rich Kleiman for not talking Kevin Durant out of doing what he wanted to do, which was go to another team and be the center of everything.
But you can't say I don't want to be a leader.
That was a Kevin Durant choice. And I think it was Ethan who said yesterday that, you know, Rich Kleiman basically has that job because he is a hyper yes man.
Yeah.
What do you want, Kevin?
Well, that's
Kevin told him what he wanted, and that's what happened.
That's you couldn't place yourself in worse hands than the hands of an unquestionable yes man. So no wonder why, you know, Kevin Durant's career is now a house of cards that is falling down all around him, and it's, you know, one of the greatest basketball players in the world is completely devoid of respect from most of the world of basketball. Like, you really got to screw things up to put yourself in that position. By the way, speaking of screwing things up and putting yourself in a bad position, the Pac-12 has certainly did that to itself. We're going to be talking about the constant state of musical chairs that is college football, the landscape of college sports, with a guy who covers it and cares about it deeply. Spencer Hall is going to be joining us next here on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking. No compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
It is good to have you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for stopping on by. Trimark has been partnering with independent restaurateurs in Northern California for over 55 years. Trimark brings you innovative product solutions to help hospitality businesses thrive. Visit TrimarkWest.com. Speaking of the thriving business of college sports, whenever the topic turns to it, there's one guy whose opinion I always like seeking out, whether I check him out on Channel 6, which is his pet project, whether I check him out because he is on SportsCenter or because I'm following him on Twitter. There's always something interesting happening with one of the most interesting voices in sports, Spencer Hall, nice enough to join Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. And Spencer, we are watching the Pac-12 sort of disintegrate in real time in a changing landscape of college athletics that is moving at the speed of light. Hi, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing better than the Pac-12.
I mean, it's one thing to lose USC and UCLA, but then when you say it out loud like this, the Pac-12 just lost the entire footprint of the city of Los Angeles. It feels even bigger than just those two schools, doesn't it?
I mean, yes and no, because I think part of my reaction, they said, wow, the Pac-12 is falling apart. You sort of do the, oh, no, really? They seem so solid. They seem so well managed. They seem so together, the Pac-12. It is surprising and not surprising at the same time, especially losing the whole L.A. footprint. We covered this on the podcast, the shutdown fullcast that we do every week, but it's hilarious to me. Like, USC seems like an obvious pull if you were going to raid the Pac-12, and that they were going to go at the behest of some serious TV money pouring in from Fox. But UCLA just feels like a corporate decision. And by corporate, I mean somebody saw that there was another team in L.A. and said, no, we're getting the whole market. And somebody's like, yeah, but that's UCLA. And they're like, what is UCLA? Get them. Whatever they are, get them. Bring them to me. So that's very much what this feels like. It's pushed by TV. And more than anything, I think that is the defining influence on how we're arranging the sport these days. Not programs, not conferences, but brands that you can attach to TV and or streaming money.
Is this move bigger in terms of affecting the status quo in the Big Ten and SEC than the SEC getting Texas and Oklahoma?
I think that the SEC getting Texas and Oklahoma is in large part what caused this, because by making that sort of expansion and picking up the two cardinal members of a conference built around them, like the cornerstones of a conference, the Big 12 existed pretty much not just to solder together the old Southwest Conference and Big 8. It existed to satisfy the whims of Texas and Oklahoma. And in that order, that move, this is a mirror of that move, because these are, like Texas and Oklahoma, rival programs that cover combined a big market and a big history, right? Oklahoma might not have the kind of population that you're looking at when you talk about pulling from the entire state of Texas, but it's a default Texas school with a much better history overall. This is a move where you pull USC, which doesn't have as many sort of living alumni as, say, UCLA, but has way more success. And then you pull UCLA, which I think most people on the East Coast don't appreciate what a monster UCLA is in every single area, including academics and impact, than football. In fact, football might be the part of UCLA's life that is most disappointing to them. When you consider everything else, in terms of academic reputation, size, everything, football is really the biggest disappointment for that school. So I think it's a mirror of that move. It's one of the things that precipitated that, because Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, famously reading up on the Premier League a couple of years ago, really understood, I think, that he wanted to create something akin to a Champions League or a Super League. Well, this is the Big Ten's natural move towards that.
Spencer Hall joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So if we're up to you, Spencer, to now, you know, apply the Band-Aid to fix the Pac-12, are you getting aggressive and looking to, you know, either go raiding the Big 12 before the Big 12 raids you, or is there an ACC partnership that you think could be the salve that's required to end this?
I don't think that it's hard to say that the Pac-12 could be fixed, because I think you're taking the good parts out of a broken thing. The Pac-12 was stuck in a media deal negotiated by previous Commissioner Larry Scott, who, in promising to take the team into, or take the conference into the 21st century, put them in a TV deal that still had them well behind the Big Ten and the SEC and on par with someone like the ACC. The ACC is now, of course, I think, in the worst shape of any conference that still mostly has form and hasn't been completely raided, because the ACC is still making far less money, and this is an arms race. I don't think there's any fixing the Pac-12. I think you can make an interesting conference out of what you have left and inviting certain other members on board, but you're going to lose your marquee schools, and I think the Big 12 is probably going to make a more appealing proposition cash-wise than the Pac-12 will be able to do. That may sound harsh, but I don't see a way out where it is not a diminished and significantly different league, especially now that you've taken away USC, who I think historically is the most successful program in that conference.
What happens to Oregon? Because that's the most interesting team that's left. They have financial throw weight. They have football success. They have a modicum of basketball success. And it seems like they have nowhere to go but the Mountain West.
Well, they could go, I think they could make a deal with perhaps the Big 12. If they do go to the Mountain West, and I want you to consider this, for a long time the ACC functioned solely as the whooping crew for about 20 years, that was it. It was Florida State and all of the various jabronis that they played during the regular season. And then Florida State would enter the postseason and have some sort of epic conflict with a power in the sport. And they kind of maintained their you know, high winning percentage and, you know, pace themselves by playing in a fairly weak conference. I think there is a scenario where you can take the remnants of the Pac-12, use Oregon as the major player there, because it's not like Nike's money is going to, you know, it's not like their checks won't clear for a while. I think their credit's good for at least the next 10 to 20 years, no matter what happens to Phil Knight. If Oregon manages to do that with whatever they scrape together out of, say, a Mountain West or reconstitute a Pac-12, whatever, I think there's always a spot for a very small pond with a very big fish that manages to just sort of, you know, reduce your national schedule down to one or two games a year. That used to be the way we built superpowers. You would have one team in a conference that fed off of everyone else, took all of the recruits, and then at the end of the year managed to play one or two very important scrimmages against other national powers. I think that is a way that Oregon can keep its profile and status. I just think it's going to require some finesse and luck.
Since, you know, tradition is no longer a factor here, let me ask the long-term 20 years from now question, which is, what would prevent the mega SEC or the mega Big Ten from basically culling some of its current members who are sort of weaker in terms of earning power? Is that the next step down the road? And by down the road, I mean 10, 15 years from now.
It might be sooner than that, especially for conferences like the Big 12, where they expanded and took, you know, a Cincinnati or a smaller market team, and then suddenly other parties came on board who might be sandwiched between the Big 12 and the mega conference. If you're in that, there's real incentive to take an underperforming member, look at them and say, hey, can we buy you out? Can we push you? That might really happen. So I think you might get some shuffling, or at least very, very insistent suggestions that somebody leave a conference. That is rarer than expansion, by the way. There are very few conferences that have booted people out for underperformance. The last one I can remember is when the Big East booted Temple. And they booted Temple for free riding. They booted Temple for, you guys have to at least try in football, and kicked them out. So I think that's something that is probably inevitable, and I think sooner than the 15 to 20 year mark.
Look, I'm a Big Ten honk. I went to Indiana, which I understand is a football doormat, but Rutgers in Nebraska, I wish that they could be replaced by just the USC and the UCLA move. Neither really belong in the conference. Notre Dame does. Do you think, Spencer, and we'll wrap up with this, that Notre Dame can continue to afford its independence, or are they going to have to become part of the system too?
They will get outpaced and have to become part of the system one way or another. And by outpace, I mean everyone's going to make more money than them. So if everyone is eventually going to make more money than them, and everyone's going to go to these division-free mega schedules where you have, you know, three permanent rivals or five permanent rivals, however you want to do it, and everyone else rotates. If that's the case, then you're going to start to get squeezed out of schedules. It'll be very, very hard to keep your consistent rotation that you have right now, where Notre Dame gets to cherry pick one big out of conference game with their traditional rivals, you know, their Stanfords and their USCs and their Michigans. Pretty soon everybody's dance card is going to get real full. So Notre Dame's going to have to play ball one way or another. The good thing for them is that they can command a gargantuan price in doing so, and probably negotiate some perks along the way. They're in a bell of the ball situation at the moment. So it is simultaneously a pressured situation, but one where I think they can make a lot of hay.
I mean, that or just play Temple and the service academies and see where that gets you going forward. Spencer, I buried the lead of this interview. Last night you said you ate at a Mexican restaurant that had such frequency by the Velvet Foghorn himself, Michael McDonald. They hung a portrait of Michael McDonald in the restaurant. I must know, what's better, the portrait or the dinner that you had?
Pueblo Real, the dinner, frankly. The portrait's fine, but Pueblo Real in Franklin, Tennessee, also where, among other luminaries of the 1980s musical world, you can find Vince Neil, who parked his Ferrari there the other day in beautiful Franklin, Tennessee. Yes. Michael McDonald is such a regular at this place and has consumed so many enchiladas and tortillas at Pueblo Real that they have put up a picture of the man himself.
That's a tribute. I mean, your beard should be immortalized in there, too. You just did an awful lot of heavy lifting for them on the West Coast. Spencer, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, I'm always here to represent the fine Mexican restaurants of Middle Tennessee on Bay Area Radio.
Spencer Hall here on 95.7 The Game, and welcome, everybody, to your 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.